Welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery. Learn something new from our stories today. Welcome to this Monday's mentoring session.
Thank you.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi there.
It's Jennifer Nelson. She's back for a third mentoring session.
Yes, and good to see you again.
You too. I was wondering, why don't we start right out of the gate of what you would like our listeners to make sure that they remember from our prior two mentoring sessions?
I don't know if they would remember this from our prior session, but I remember coming out of those sessions. And out of the first one, I remember the first time you asked me to fill out this mentoring journal that deals with feelings. And I remember being, just inside a little bit taken aback because I was like, oh, we're going to be talking about feelings here? That's a little bit scary.
Yeah.
So I wanted to say, though, that after we talked, and I kind of got where we had gotten to go with all of this, I got the value in these feelings. Whereas before, I had always kind of had the idea that there's no crying in business. You know, you don't show your face. You keep whatever you have going on, you know, in the personal realm at home, and you just, you know, put on a brave face and go do business.
Yes.
But I would think that everyone, especially entrepreneurs, has that sort of intermixed life of not being able to always separate work and personal life. And so it's always there. And how do you deal with that? And so it's, I don't know, I just guess I felt like it was really valuable to, you know, at any given moment, like today as well, checking in with, well, what am I feeling? I don't know. I don't always take a time to think about what I'm feeling on any given day, you know?
Yeah, so, yeah, that makes so much sense.
So I thought that was important to mention.
Well, good.
About this process and
yeah.
stuff.
And how are you feeling?
Oh, I'm feeling, looking at my sheet here, I'm feeling receptive, enthusiastic, and I also looked at this open heart, vulnerable, open heart / vulnerable. I thought, what an interesting combination, because I would think open heart is almost quite the opposite of being vulnerable. I feel like vulnerable is when you close up, shut down, not open for business. And yet, vulnerability, the power of vulnerability is something I've been aware of lately, as far as Brené Brown is somebody I've been listening to and stuff. So, but I still think it's a really interesting juxtaposition, because probably when you're most clear about something or solid or you're very opinionated, it might be when you're the least receptive to learning or growth, whereas when you're most vulnerable and you feel really sort of maybe insecure and not confident or whatever, you probably might also have an open heart, I guess, like you're fearless and searching or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So yeah.
That was interesting. So I'm kind of there with that. And contemplative, maybe a little distracted in the section about emotions of internal challenge and growth. Interestingly, I skipped over the whole emotions signaling inner hurt, but I would say I could circle a few of those.
Well, let's hone in on those a little bit.
Oh, sure.
Let's just dig right in.
Right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, because this is the third session. You're comfortable. We've been developing a trust level. We have good boundaries with each other.
That's true.
Normally, I would keep this information in the vault. but you're willing to risk with our listeners.
Sure.
To share kind of some deeper things that you're working on, because everybody has deeper feelings that surface while we're doing the work of running our businesses.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So with that in mind, continue.
Oh, you want to delve into the inner hurt stuff?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've had a lot of those feelings. I'd say, sad, tearful, disillusioned. Manipulated, for sure disconnected, a lot of that. And I think a lot of that actually lends itself to some of what I've been blocked about in my creativity.
Okay.
And I'm only now, these days, putting some of that together about what I might have been doing with my last 2 years.
Okay.
You know?
So
internally.
Yeah. So that sounds like something we should talk about. I've got some other things that we can talk about too.
Okay.
That we can add in if it feels appropriate. But otherwise, I think what you're bringing up about, you know, as a fine artist and a graphic designer, your ability to produce work and creative ideas on a regular basis is a lot of pressure.
Yep.
And as you express yourself in the world and you continue your journey, there are things that come up that are in front of our face and put us in a position where we need to look at ourselves and what we're experiencing and kind of take a breath and figure out what's going on. Because if the ideas are stopping, there's something else that you're maybe is coming to surface.
Definitely.
That your awareness around it is greater. And maybe you have a readiness to take a look at something that was very painful for you.
Definitely. That's kind of where I'm at. And so you're okay. Right. It's a mishmash of, you noticed I put out a lot of positive, I guess,
yeah.
In the realm of positive feelings and
right.
Negative feelings. So all of that is in there. And you just reminded me of, too, I think we covered this in one of our last sessions about the only time I feel like I can sometimes go up and do my fine art, which maybe doesn't yield as much of an income, mm-hmm. is when I might have done enough graphic design work that is bringing in some checks.
Sure.
So that's what gives me sort of permission to go upstairs and you know, start painting and doing this and that.
Yeah.
When it just makes me feel more secure. So
yeah.
I don't know. I think that ties into I feel more creative when I'm freed up knowing that I have a security about a certain amount of income coming in.
Sure, so. Which is tied to the cash flow.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And so as you're becoming aware of the range of emotions that you're experiencing, do you want to talk a little bit more about what you feel is blocking your creativity right now? What are you becoming aware of?
I'm becoming aware of how some I guess things that have come up in my family of origin
okay.
and childhood have actually kind of come into my present life. And of course, they're in danger of being in my future as well, unless I sort of deal with them. And I realize that my mind and maybe my heart has been preoccupied and using up a lot of my mental and creative energies trying to solve something. That there's not really,
sure.
You know, it's not really for me to solve. It's been sort of to do with relationships in my family that are kind of estranged. And then looking at, well, you should work that out, you know. And then playing with, well, do I need to work that out, you know. And then there's looking at people in your life that are sort of worth going the distance with.
Yes.
And for, and other people that are really worth letting go.
Yes.
Just like if I come back to business for a minute, there are clients worth not having.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And it's it doesn't matter whether they're a large client or a small client, you know, with a small amount of money or a lot of money. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with how they are energetically with you. And do they respect you and what you do? And are they going to take advantage of you, or are they going to try and get as much as they can for as little as they can? Or, you know, those are the kinds of ones where it's like, look, I'll finish out this project and my own
sure.
integrity will allow me to finish that with them.
Yeah.
But after that, I would have to say goodbye and, you know, move
so
on to the
where,
next.
So where's the line or the boundary for you when you're reaching a point where you're going to let a client go?
Well, certainly disrespecting conversation or maybe getting...
And do you notice it while you're there, or do you notice it like later after you've left?
Maybe after I've left, because in the realm of doing business, I think you just are good no matter, you know, you're good with somebody no matter what, and you kind of go home. I do. I should speak for myself and say then I go home and think about what I could have said or maybe should have said or what was there to be said.
Yes.
But I'm also thinking about clients that will be very demanding on their deadlines, and then you jump to and you get those done for them. And then if you have a requirement of sort of 30-day payment, Mm-hmm. And they take 60 days and then 90 days, and you have to do as hard of a work to collect your paycheck
yes.
as it was to do work for them. That's so I have a wide berth for,
okay.
you know, who would get let go as a client. So it's not just a hard conversation. It's not just they get a little demanding because people want to get what they want to get, and I'm willing to, you know, please.
Go so far.
But
yeah.
there's just there's a point where it just becomes obvious to me that we have to, I have to let them go.
Okay.
As a client, if
sure.
that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like this is getting so serious here, and I'm actually in a good place. You
yeah.
know?
Mm-hmm.
A good place of this open heart, vulnerable thing.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. And part of sorting out this too, when I'm working with someone in a mentoring situation, mm-hmm. One of the things we sort out is what are some of the skills that we can build here? And then what also is something that's a therapeutic issue that where a person, the pain is very, very deep, where they need some psychological intervention to put things in place.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I'm going through this online class with Brené Brown.
Love it.
Yeah. We're going through her book, Daring Greatly. And also Rising Strong.
That's great.
And her process of how to put together a story and break it apart. So I've been going through her process, which is very, very deep. And you begin with reckoning what happened, what are the circumstances, how is the situation set up? And then you go and you rumble with the facts about it and where you're creating a story because you don't want to deal with the hurt
yep.
and the pain.
Yep.
And then through the process of rumbling with your experience that you actually change like your perspective on life and you revolutionize how you are interacting with other people as a result of really going in there and figuring out what you experienced, how it affected you, and what you want to change about yourself and how you're handling yourself when you're going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody in class picks a story, a personal experience, and it can be, you know, a simple one of, you know, she used an example, one example of her and her husband went on vacation. And one of the things that they wanted to do was go swimming together.
Yep.
And so
she to that one
goes,
as well. I love this story.
Okay.
I want to hear it again.
Yeah.
But we've been listening to the books on tape or whatever.
Yes.
Online, I guess.
Yeah.
And so it's been great. So I remember that story.
Yes. Where she, and so her and her husband, you know, they go into this lake. They're going to, you know, swim across it. Both of them are good swimmers.
Yep.
And she's trying to connect with him while they're swimming across there. And he was just pretty much in swim mode. And so while she's swimming, she's just making up stuff, right?
Yep.
About, you know, why he's not connecting with her. And so they get back and she's like, you know, fuming. Like, this is, you know, this really sucked. You know, this was just like the worst, you know, swimming, you know, I thought we
yeah.
were going to connect and do something great together here.
Yes.
And why are you doing this?
And she felt alone and disconnected and made all that up.
Right.
During the whole swim.
Right. Yep. And so then what happened was then they had some time to reckon with how the rules, what was set up before, you know, that they were going to go swimming and her understanding and his understanding.
Yes.
And then she was in a place where she was able to tell, what's her husband's name?
I forget.
Yeah, I forgot too. But so she tells him, you know, what she experienced and she was trying to connect with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he shares that he was focusing on just making it.
Yeah.
To the, 'cause it wasn't it like
yeah.
a mile swim or something. And
yes.
so there was some destination, like a little,
yeah.
island or something,
yep.
and so they were going to swim there and come back, and he was just trying to make it.
Yep.
So he had to really focus in and just not address anything going on around him except for stroke after stroke and his breathing.
Yeah.
So when Brené heard that, she just, you know, felt totally awful. Like, oh my gosh, I made all this stuff up. And so through the process, they revolutionized. And that's why she used that example, their life. Because they learned a different way of communicating.
Yeah, and I remember, too, part of that, they got out and they were just toweling off or whatever. And she's like, something like, we need to talk or whatever. And he's kind of like, oh, here we go. You know, exhausted already because he saw the look in her eye or he's heard that tone before and she wanted to talk and he just didn't, you know. And then she even expressed her vulnerability, which I remember the part where she's like, what she ascribed to him was that you don't think I rock a Speedo anymore.
Right.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
It kind of cracked me up, even though none of this is ha-ha funny, but she really had that going on,
Her body image.
He looked at her that way anymore. And anyway, it was good. And then they had to get through that stuff before, to your point, they then revolutionized the conversation. But she got to be vulnerable with him. And then when he realizes that he doesn't have to be offensive about it, that's just what she's got going on.
Right.
He didn't say you don't rock a Speedo.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Then you can get through some stuff like
that. It was like sorting out whose stuff is whose.
Yeah.
And being comfortable with just being... having your feelings and talking about them and not trying to do anything else with that except each person trying to be heard.
Yes.
Yeah. So with her process, I think with that situation, you can kind of do some of that on your own.
Yep.
And then when there are some deeper issues that surface where you just feel like I can relate to you with... having estranged family relationships and trying to sort out, you know, what's the best route to go through that. And for me, it brought up some really confounded grief. And usually that stuff is rooted in some major transition in the family, like death.
Yeah, exactly. And this is like a death prior to death. It's a death within life. You know, if you're estranged from, or like I'm estranged from a family member, and it's like... You know, if you talk to people about it, you know, they have you feel like, well, you need to repair that, you know, before she dies, you know, and things like
that. You're talking about your mother.
And you really do have to consider whether you do have to do that or not, you know.
Right.
You sure don't have to do it for anyone else. You have to figure out what can you live with as time goes on, you know.
Yeah. And if you've had a lot of conversations about the same issues, you know, who's willing to kind of come to a point where... you can come to an understanding.
Yep.
And sometimes it just, you can't.
Right.
Yeah. But I think it's a very personal process. And also, I think it kind of reshapes us and our perspective and how we think about ourselves. But I think it's a lot of shoulds, sorting through a lot of the shoulds.
Yep.
And... if it's resurrecting some other grief upon grief, then that's complicated grief, and that's usually kind of a therapeutic issue to go with. But if you're changing relationships, like changing how you're interacting with things.
Oh, you bet. I've upset the family mobile with that.
Okay.
You know, I'm not acting the way I always acted, you know, and I've changed as a criticism, you know.
Yes.
I've gotten it as a criticism, not like, hey, yay, you're evolving.
Right.
But more as a, you've changed. Kind of like, I'm not getting from you what I expected to get from you and what I've always gotten from you as my child.
Yeah.
You know.
And the more comfortable you get with the place that you've arrived to, the easier it will be to allow somebody else. Like in the story, the swimming story with Brené and her husband, once they understood each other, she got comfortable with her own feelings.
Yep.
And was able to feel. Now, he has chosen to kind of shift their relationship a little bit, you know, so that they can grow together. But many of us, you know, we have these other relationships with people that we're not living with, but we did grow up with their long history together, or if a parent. And... if the boundaries have continually been crossed, or you're Brené Brown has this, it's called Braving.
Okay.
It's the anatomy of trust, and it's an acronym. And I thought we might get into a little bit of boundaries. So I have this with me, and you can go to Brené Brown's website, courageworks.com, and also get a copy of it for yourself. The first one, braving, is boundaries, where you respect my boundaries, and when you're not clear about what's okay and not okay, you ask. You're willing to say no. So what I found really enlightening about understanding this whole acronym is it isn't just, you know, whether or not you just trust a person. It's really, do I trust a person in this particular area in these ways? And so, like, some family members, you know, might have difficulties with respecting your boundaries or new boundaries. Or I've had where when I've shifted myself and I've communicated that or changed my behavior, I get pushback. And what I would do to help me deal with it is I would count. If it, you know, if it was with someone that's repetitive and they keep challenging my boundary, to keep my sanity and stay connected with them, I would count how many times it would happen. So I turned it into like a little game.
Okay.
And then when I realized, oh, wow, after the 26th time, wow, you then got it. You got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I know when I shift my boundaries again,
yeah,
I'm going to let you, you know, have some room,
yeah,
to really come to terms with it and,
yeah,
understand it.
Huh.
But turning it into a little bit of a game, if you want to stay in relationship, and not in a negative way, but it's more of like to try to understand the other person, you know, as well as, you know, understanding your own self.
Well, what I love about that is that you counted 26 times and you had the patience to do that, whatever that was. But I thought it was really cool that you're actually just, you know, the only thing you control in this life is you, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And so you're not requiring that other person changes.
You're
along just
with
allow
you.
Them to be how and who they are. You're just shifting what you, how you respond to them and probably not react to them.
Right.
And so that's great. That's great.
Well,
because
that's,
you can't have that requirement of other people, really.
No, and that's where you can have the freedom. Then it isn't, you know, it doesn't morph into something really, you know, dysfunctional,
mm-hmm,
and controlling. Or a person feels manipulated when there's that, you know, emotional mess in the middle.
Yep.
This gives you a way that you can set the boundary. I'm in relationship with this person, but I've changed. They're having a hard time with dealing with how I am right now, and that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to give them the space to do it.
Yep.
And if they don't reach a point where they really accept me,
yep,
then I'm going to forgive them. And, yep, also I'm going to accept that they don't accept me.
Yes. Because you might as well, because they may not anyway, and so why wait for it? And that's the disappointment, is when you keep having expectations of somebody.
Yes.
You know, especially,
yeah,
if she's your mother, and you sort of expect different behavior and you don't get it, because that's not the mother kind of mother you see in the movies. The mother,
yeah,
who is like, oh, wants to make a hot meal when you come home, or, you know.
Yeah, the 1950s
come into
mom.
Town with your spouse, etc. You know, you just... You got to let go of expectations, and that's a beautiful story about how you're just always working on yourself and your response to the world,
right,
of people and so on.
Right.
You know.
So and let's just cover two more in the Braving acronym, and,
okay,
what I'd like to do is then have another session with you.
Okay.
All right, let's
Sounds
do it.
Good.
Okay. So boundaries is where you respect my boundaries. And when you're not clear about what my boundaries are, you ask. You don't assume. So there's no assumption there. The second acronym is reliability. and you do what you say you'll do. At work, this means staying aware of your competencies and limitations so you don't overpromise, and you're able to deliver on commitments and balance competing priorities. Now, I also look at this and think, well, sometimes, you know, especially with work and you're trying out new things and you're juggling a lot of things at the same time, you don't know exactly how long certain things are taking. Like, for example, I never know how long it's going to take for me to prepare for one of our mentoring sessions. Mm-hmm. You know, it depends upon how I know the person, where I've, you know, how, what kind of relationship I have, in what, how many sessions we've had or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if, you know, so sometimes I feel better prepared than other times. Sure. And, but I think the main thing with the work reliability is adding that to the boundary, saying, okay, you know what? I didn't meet this deadline. So let's rework the deadline or do something different.
Yep. And I like that, I guess, as that relates to me, and hopefully it's mostly a thing of the past, but I used to have kind of a, what I call my little late problem. Well, my late problem is anyone who's, you know, trying to coordinate with me. And
yeah.
I used to just be late because I would not give enough time or dedication to how long it's actually going to take me to get ready and get out the door and get in the car and get across town and meet at the coffee shop or wherever that might be. When I finally got that, that's kind of disrespectful. Well, not kind of, but really disrespectful of somebody else's time.
Yeah.
And I really didn't get that. It wasn't conscious for me until it finally was. Then now, if and when it happens, although it happens a lot less, instead of being afraid of that and being like, you know, some kind of excuse for why you're late, it's just, I will say, I'm very sorry I'm late. Let them know that you have a respect for their time, and then just not, you know, give any excuses. You know, if anything, I just have an explanation, you know, of why I'm late, but it's not an excuse.
Yes.
And I'm sorry. First and foremost, I'm sorry I should have been here at whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just a good thing to be reliable.
Absolutely. And what also ties with reliability, and when we're talking about the anatomy of trust, and once we figure out the boundaries, we learn about what reliability is and what we, you know, where our competencies are and where we're limited and kind of how to take ownership of that. The accountability part, where you own your mistakes, apologize, and make amends. And this is where, you know, some people just, you know, will be forthright and notice and that aware of themselves, where mm-hmm. they'll just acknowledge, you know, I messed up. You know, what can we do about it, or provide some solutions? And there are other people where they're not aware at all,
mm-hmm.
and they don't want to take responsibility and accountability for themselves.
Yep.
And this, I think, shows up a lot in work.
Yep.
Where, you know, if they're not following through,
yep.
on things, and you're working with them and you're giving them all these chances.
Yeah.
That's part of
course,
the,
that's all in that paradigm of blame. Like, somebody has to be responsible for this. Whereas if you're sort of, you know, fairly mindful of being accountable most, if not all of the time,
yes.
you can own your part in it.
Yes.
And I also think that, you know, if you're the first to apologize, it's okay. Well, we have a clear loser here. You know, you've acknowledged your guilt and we're all done with that. And then sometimes if you're not in the company of somebody else who's willing to take their ownership too,
yeah,
it's done. And so there's a vulnerability in apologizing even. And I think that's why I've found myself taking some time to do so.
Yes.
You know, because you don't want it to sort of bite you in the butt, as they say. And
yeah.
You think that's the end of the story at that point.
Well, and
but,
if,
you know, you just...
And if someone is viewing the relationship through competitive eyes, there's a winner
right.
and a loser,
right?
And so, by gum, I'm not going to lose this one.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
I'm not going to look like the stupid one,
right?
I'm going to weasel my way out of this as much as I can.
Yep.
Yeah. Very good. Well, this has been a very courageous conversation as we're talking about Brené Brown. And you started our conversation to with being very open-hearted and vulnerable. And I think we're having a really deep discussion because part of this is you're trying to work understand why at this point you're having a block.
Exactly. And I'm ready to move on. And so when we got to the emotions signaling you to stop, figure out, blah, 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 constructively, I wrote impatient because I know I've been a certain place for a while and I'm impatient to get to a much more productive, creative place.
Okay. So let's delve into that part in our next mentoring session because it takes a little bit to understand when we have a block. And taking a look at where the block is and from what angle, I think will be very helpful for you and for our listeners who also experience this because they're very innovative and creative people.
Yeah.
Great.
And I think it'll still be there too.
Okay. We'll see you next Monday.
Thank you, Nancy.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Mike.